Let me pray. I never know how this is going to go. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Every time, though, I'm like, Holy Spirit, you got to move, man. So Father, I just thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this message today. I thank you for what you've put on my heart. I pray that it would not only be my word, but it would be you speaking through me. And God, I just thank you that you are here with us. And I just pray you'd lead me as I share the word this morning. Amen, amen. All right, I'm going to start off with a story because it helps calm my nerves as I get up here, gets me into the swing, and then I'll jump into my message. But it was probably like 2 weeks ago. Well, it's actually like 6 weeks ago now. Time goes really fast. But I was driving to Hamilton in the holidays to see my sisters, and I was in the car. And every time I'm in the car, I get an urge to pray for something. And it's always something really small. It'll be like my sister, or it'll be one of my friends have got this going on, or I just get the idea to pray for this person. And it always leads into this long, lengthy prayer. But I feel like it's because God's got me trapped in my car for 4 hours and I've got nowhere to go. And this time he did exactly that, because I start praying. And then halfway through my prayer, I just had this revelation that I take the Holy Spirit for granted. Because I was in my car and I'm like, I always acknowledge Jesus for what he's done in my life. You know, I acknowledge that he is the bridge to the Father. And I acknowledge the love of the Father for giving his son to us, you know. Like, that's easy for me to understand. But I was sitting in my car and I was like, Holy Spirit, I actually repent right now. Because you're here with me. You're stuck with me. You know, Jesus came, did his job and went home. But you're here on my good days and my bad days. And you're the reason I'm standing today. And like, I just had this huge revelation. And ever since then, it's actually changed my prayer life. Because I no longer, how do you put it? I shouldn't say no longer. I acknowledge the Holy Spirit more in my prayers when I'm succeeding and when I'm failing. So now I'm praying more like, Holy Spirit, help me here. Rather than just saying, Father, I'm struggling here. Can you help me deal with this? Now I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you're with me. Give me the strength to get me through. So that's just my warm-up story. But take from that as you would. Here's my first postie. But this morning, I'm speaking on whanaunitanga. Connection, cultivating connection. And I'm excited to share this with you because this is my life story. But before I jump into that, I just want to acknowledge Selena. For a couple of weeks back, she spoke into being intentional with kindness and practicing kindness. And that practice doesn't mean we trip up and then we keep going. That is what it means. But Selena talked about how intentional kindness is continually doing it on a day-to-day practice. And that really spoke to me, and I just acknowledged that. I acknowledged the ground that's been put here. And then Ben, I wasn't actually here. I was working last Sunday, but he talked about demonstrating integrity towards our Indigenous people and understanding different worldviews, because that is what our world is full of. And I just want to acknowledge that and just lift that up to the Father as he puts seeds and plants in the soil as we go into a new season, acknowledging our pillars in our church, which are the birds. And I was given whanaunitanga, cultivating connection, which couldn't be more suited for my life because that is my story, whanaunitanga. Connection is the reason I come to this church, and connection in this church, whanaunitanga in this church, is the reason I am the man I am today. Now, I'm going to sound like a fool, but I'm boasting in yous, not in myself, all right? Because you guys are the reason I'm here today. And you guys are the reason I'm about to marry Brittany. Now, it's not just you guys, because none of you actually knew her. I found her on a blind date set up by a friend. But the values you guys instilled in me, the people I walked alongside, helped me grow into a man that she seemed marriable. I don't know if that's a word, but you guys know what I'm saying. Where if Brittany probably met me 2 years ago, she would have been like, yeah, nah, I'm out. And she probably wouldn't have stayed on that date, but she did. And it's because of the people I've walked alongside in this church. So the whanaunitanga they have built in me, the journeys they've shared with me to grow me into the man I am today. And I acknowledge that in City Life. And I say that's one of our pillars. That's what I've known. I've been here for 10 years now. I got saved. A lot of yous know, a lot of yous don't know. I got saved from drugs and alcohol. I come from a pretty crazy upbringing. I met Jesus, and now I do all this really cool stuff for Jesus. But it's because of the people who journeyed with me in this church. But before we get more into that, let's look at it from the Word's perspective. And to demonstrate whanaunitanga, I'm going to start with the greatest commandment. Who knows what the greatest commandment is? There we go. You guys are good. So it's in Matthew 22, 36, 40. Now, for you veterans who bring your Bible to church, turn with me there. For those who don't worry, I'm going to read it. Let me give you a minute. Because, you know, that's cool. I think it's really cool people bring their Bibles to church. No, I don't. But when you do, I think it's really cool, and I think that's awesome. What was it? It was 23, 36. And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That is the first and greatest commandment." Beautiful commandment. But today I'm not focusing on that one. I'm going to focus on the second half of it. And second is equally important. Equally important. Not under it, equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all that demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Equally as important as loving God is loving your neighbor. And it wasn't too long ago I was reading through the Gospels. And I was in a stage of life where I was, no, that's not the best way to put it. But I was reading through and I read this and it hit me. I was like, what does Jesus actually mean when he says love your neighbor? Because everyone has a different view on how they love their neighbor. And that's because of worldviews, that's because of journeys, and that's because of who we are. But what did Jesus mean when he said love your neighbor as yourself? You know, and what does that mean for me? And after probably a few months of praying, I found that the revelation I got for my life is that it's built in whanaunitanga. It's built into relationship. And that is one way you can demonstrate love for your neighbor. Now, I'm not saying that whanaunitanga is the only way to demonstrate love to your neighbor, because you can give to the homeless and show them love without having any connection to them. You know, a lot of the charities I give to involve young people in hospital or going through a lot of trouble. And I've never met these young people in my life. But the love of my heart for young people is loving my neighbor, sorry. But it's not whanaunitanga because I don't know these people and I'm not cultivating connection to them. So I'm not saying this commandment is only found in whanaunitanga, but you can practice this commandment through whanaunitanga. And I believe it's most important through whanaunitanga when it comes to the church, when it comes to our community that we live in. Because it's hard to love your church neighbor and just say hi in the morning and then walk away, you know. You've actually got to get to know them. You've actually got to know a bit of their life story. You've got to sit with them, eat with them, pray with them, love with them, and journey together through life. But I actually haven't given you an answer on how to practice whanaunitanga. And I get a little bit, my feathers get ruffled when you get a preacher come up here, give you a good word, but they don't tell you how to practice it at all. And to be honest, I'm not going to give you an answer on how to practice this, because it's God's commandment, and I wouldn't be in a place to tell you how to practice God's commandment. That's God's job. I would never want to try and do God's job. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the book, because if this book tells us to practice cultivating connection, whanaunitanga, loving our neighbor, the answers have to be in this book. So we're going to jump to Paul's letters, where at the end of most of Paul's letters, he says to us, this is how you should love your fellow church member. This is how you should love your brother and sister in Christ. So the first one we're going to jump to is Romans 13, 8 to 10. Now, if it's done right, it should go right there. A good friend of mine, Stu, taught me to do this. Post-it notes, my brother, and then you never lose where you're meant to be preaching from. And he is a genius. All right. I've also got it on here, but I thought it just looks better if I bring my Bible. So, owe nothing to anyone. Except for your obligation to love one another. Owe nothing to anyone, but what you do owe each other is love. Isn't that crazy? You owe each other love. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. Love fulfills the requirements of the law. Paul is taking the Ten Commandments, which was a pillar not only in the Jewish community for thousands of years, but it actually became a pillar in the church community for thousands of years, the Ten Commandments. And Paul's bringing it back, saying, here's some of the Ten Commandments, but you can fulfill all the commandments just by loving your neighbor. That's deep. So let's jump to Colossians. Colossians 3, 13 and 15. Or 12, actually. I start at 12. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Ooh, that's a good word. And forgive anyone who offends you. Oh, man, I could just preach on that. I'm not going to, but that's huge, and it's huge in the church too. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all else, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from God rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Now my notes say this. What's Paul communicating to the church about whanaunitanga, about loving your neighbor? Compassion is mentioned there. Kindness is mentioned there. Humility, gentleness, patience. All of these embody whanaunitanga. But there are three that aren't just mentioned as a word. They're given specific detail. And that's forgiveness, because that's huge. Love can't be outworked without forgiveness, because the people closest to you are the ones that hurt and offend you. And a friend of mine once said, it's about finding the ones worth hurting for. They're the ones you want to journey in life with. And that's deep, because if someone's going to offend you, you're going to get hurt, and you've got to learn to live with that and grow with them through that. Showing forgiveness. Peace. We've got to be at peace with one another. As Ben said, there's going to be people in this church, people in the world who are followers of Christ who have different worldviews than you. I work with amazing Christian people who have completely different views on this book than me. But I see the outworking of their life, and I see the love they show people, and it gives me a peace when I work alongside them. Saying I may not agree with all of their theology, but I see the peace of God working through them, and it gives me peace. And the last one is love, because love binds them all together. Love makes us one people. Whanaunitanga. And then we jump back to Romans 12, 9, 13. And I didn't get time to do a postie for this one, so I'll read it from my pages. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, to help them, always be eager to practice hospitality. Really love each other. None of this pretend love. Genuine love. None of this, hey Dave, how you going? That's cool. I'm never going to talk to you till next Sunday. You know, and like, oh, I'll pray for you, brother. And then you never pray for them. Like, genuine love. Dave, I really care about your life. I want to hear about it. Do you know who always makes me feel like that? Murray Nielsen. When I've ever got something going on or I come to church, he asks me about my week or my work, and I genuinely feel like he cares. And that's the kind of stuff Paul's talking about, like genuinely showing affection and love. Delight and honor each other, honoring each other. Because that can be hard in church, because we don't want to give too much credit to man. We don't want to give too much credit to our own stories. But like I was saying, through the Holy Spirit and through your guys' hard work in my life, I am the man I am today. And I honor you guys for that. Delight and honor in each other for the work you do in the kingdom. Just like, what did I put right here? Just like us, Whanaunui Tanga is found in loving people past their faults. That's right. Faults are the biggest thing that sever connections in Whanaunui Tanga. Relationships with people that go deep can be destroyed by one mistake or one word. I've seen it happen. So what I'm going to do to demonstrate this is we're going to talk about the old church. I feel like I've got that word wrong anyway. The early church, not the old church. They're pretty old, but the early church. Because I feel like we can romanticize the early church. I hear people say it all the time, like, man, we need to be like the early church. And I used to have a friend who would quote Acts 4:32 to 37 to me. Now, I've got it written down here. I'll sum this up and I'll read the next part to you. So basically what's happened is the disciples have got their ministry going. The Holy Spirit's breaking out everywhere. All these people are coming to faith, and there's like one of the biggest revivals that has ever happened in Jerusalem. And all these people come together, and they're like, take our money, take our land, we're giving to the poor, and we're working together, and it's going to be great. But who knows what happened? The goodness didn't last long. The giving, the working with one another didn't last long. As it happens with most revivals to this age, the faults of people come up and then everything seems to slowly fall apart. And I'll show you that and I'll read this one just so you know I'm not just making this up. Acts 6:1-4. So you got to remember the church is working together. All this great stuff is happening. People are even selling their own land to feed the poor. They're sharing everything with one another. And then in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, now, I'm not the best reader of Jewish words, so you have to forgive me. The Hellenistic Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. The 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God, in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who know the full to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So what's happening is, because I've had backstory on this, is there's a bunch of Jewish men who are complete, well, I shouldn't say complete, but they're full Jewish, from Jerusalem, all of that. And then there's some over here who have come back from overseas and exiled nations, and I think it's like half, I think it's like their married partner's not Jewish. So the men, some of them are saying, well, they're not full Jews, so why should they get just as much distribution, just as much as we do? And then all of this fighting is happening in the church, and the disciples come in and say, well, we're meant to be preaching the word, so we're going to do this. We're going to get 7 men, or however many it was, and 12. Anyway, we're going to get them together, and we're going to get them to worry about it. But in the goodness of everyone sharing, faults were coming. Natural humanness was coming out. I was reading not too long ago in the book of Daniel where it talks about the Son of Man was coming. So I did some research on what the Son of Man means. And when Jesus meant it, he meant it as like the Son of Man, as he was referring to the book of Daniel, and I'm the one he was talking about. But when Daniel and that talk about the Son of Man, and in an ancient Jewish worldview, the Son of Man meant Son of Adam. It meant the frailty, the fallenness of humankind. And that is what we see here in every community. There's brokenness, there's fallenness, and it's love is when we choose to walk alongside people, build that Whanaunui Tanga, and journey with them through their brokenness. So that is where I'm going to take it from here. But before we go there, does anybody know what bird represents Whanaunui Tanga and our pillars? Don't worry, I got the answer here, so... The swallow, yes. The swallow. Does anyone know the name in Te Reo? Wairau. There you go. Good man. So, the behavior and ecology. Welcome swallows are generous. They often nest as pairs, but other birds may help with caring for the young. When not breeding, they roost together in large numbers under bridges and in swamps, and they will mob predatory birds in winter. Flocks travel together in distances to find reliable food sources. So they share responsibility in caring for the young, as a good community should. They stick together. When there's an enemy attack, they mob together. So they all come together to fight off prey. As a church, that's what we should do. When our brother's weak, we should surround them and support them. When our sister needs help, we should surround them and support them. And fight off, in a mob, the attacks of the enemy. Whanaunitanga. They are by nature a spiritual bird, as we are called to be social and in the lives of each other. It makes me think of Acts 2:42-47. That was from Ben. So I don't know what Acts that is, but we know Ben and he's good, so it's got to be a good one. So that's the swallow. They represent Whanaunitanga in the way they work together as a community, and that's what we're called to do in love. Now, I'm going to go back and remember, I'm boasting in you guys, not in myself. I've come a long way, and I'm a completely changed man to what I was. And it's thanks to God, and it's thanks to this church and the people I've journeyed with. It's thanks to Whanaunitanga. But I get to work for one of the best youth orgs in Aotearoa, in my opinion. So when all of these ram raids were happening, and a lot of the country was saying, lock them up, throw them away, what are these young people doing? I watched the Zeal head office in Auckland say, we need to hear the young people's side of the story. So what they did was, they got the young people who were committing this, they did some interviews with them and asked them their side of the story. Why are you doing this? What encourages you to do this? And we had lots of people from all over Aotearoa come in and get interviewed. We paid them for it and share their side of the story, why they're doing it. I could not be more proud to work for an org that would go to the broken people who are doing the worst things and saying, let's hear your story so we can get to the bottom of this and fix this. We don't just want to lock you away. Or when I'm called to go to council with my boss and I stand next to him and watch him fight for the young people of New Plymouth and say they need your help. Because of the things we see on a daily basis, the young people who are not even 18 yet who are homeless, I've watched my colleagues stand up and fight for them, reach out to them, get them places where they need to be. And in those moments, I could not be more proud to work for Zeal. But it wasn't too long ago I was working night shift at the warehouse. I was doing 3 nights a week and I was pretty broke. I had just been saved and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, but I knew I loved Jesus. And I had some good friends from this church who sowed into my life. Some of these people, actually all 3 of these people don't go to this church anymore. They've just gone in different paths. But when I first came here, there was a guy called Stu Murray. And he would ring me and be like, yo, I've got some work. I know it's your days off. Do you want to come and work with me? And I'd be like, yo, that sounds cool. So I'd go and work with him. And he would just blast worship music while he's building and I'm pulling out nails for him. But it was such a different change for me. I was used to working at the warehouse where we'd all pull out our cigarettes and just talk nonsense for an hour on our smoko breaks, an hour, half an hour. And now I'm working with this man who's building and helping me get work when I need it. And he's worshipping the Holy Spirit while he does it. Or my friend Nathan Pease, he would invite me over to his house to do renovations. And I'd go there and I'd help him pull out walls. I'd help him. He basically got me to be a demolition man, to be honest. And then he'd build it back up. But I'll never forget this one time. I'm a very early Christian. I'm just fresh out the world and we're working. And I stop. This is embarrassing now, church. But I stop and I look at him and I go, so bro, what's the deal with sex? Like, now we're Christians, what's okay and what's not? And I remember just watching his face be like, man, okay, this is an awkward conversation. But he gave me the best advice I've ever had. He said, it's probably something not to go into today, Daniel, but one day you'll figure that out with your wife, and that's between you two. But working alongside men like this helped build my character, helped build me into the man I am today. Do you guys remember Hamish and Paula? Who remembers Hamish and Paula? Paula used to work in the office, and her husband, Hamish, was a teacher. And he used to get me, probably once a month on a Saturday, to come to his house, chop firewood. He tried to teach me to reverse a trailer. Tried once, we never did it again. But he would pick me up on a Saturday after working night shift. I'd go to his house, I'd chop wood. And then we built Whanaunitanga, and he spoke into my life. I didn't have father figures. I didn't have good role models as men. And then these three people stepped in. It's got to be like almost 6-7 years now, almost without fail, of eating at the Nielsen's house on a Sunday night. Go over after church, eat, share a table with their boys, and I've watched their boys grow up. And Blake and Brooke sowed into me so much. And I could return that by sowing into their boys. Whanaunitanga, relationship, loving one another. I could not tell you how many times me and Blake have fought over silly little scriptures, or when we'd stay up late and play this card game, and Brooke would come out at 12 in the morning and go, "Daniel, go home, it's too late, what are you doing?" And me and Blake are almost fighting over who should have won. But he's my best friend. And when I need someone, I know I can rely on him because he's seen me at my worst. And when I'm at my worst, he's come next to me and he's shown me Whanaunitanga. Just like Hamish did, just like Nathan did, and just like Stu did, they sowed into me, showing me good ways of working, and it got me into a position now where I get to work at this amazing youth org because people sowed into me and helped me grow as a person. It was Whanaunitanga that did this. Even my preaching, it was because of Kim and Chris, who would sit down and be like, "You did a good job here, but this was really bad. Next time, work on this." You know, it'd be like, it wasn't too long ago where Kim was like, "You're a great preacher, you're doing a good job, but you share too much stories. You need to do more word. I challenge you to do 70% word and less stories." I think I've probably done like 50-50 this time. But I'm getting better slowly. But it's thanks to his encouragement. Because if I sat here and just did it my own way without Whanaunitanga, I'd probably never preach because I'd be bad. But it's because of people like Chris and Kim who sow into my giftings and do Whanaunitanga with me that I get to evolve and develop as a person. It's because of this church, it's because of this house that I am the man I am today. And you guys can be proud in that. You guys can show honor in that and just love the fact that Whanaunitanga, one of our pillars, is how we build a beautiful community that Paul talks about. People that in their faults love each other, walk alongside each other, and even at the worst of times support each other, and in the best of times honor and celebrate each other. So here's how I'm going to end it. And trust me, when people do this, I roll my eyes. You ask Brittany, I try and run away. But we're going to get into groups. And you only have to spend 5 minutes doing this. And if you've noticed someone who's not in the, who hasn't been to City Life before, make sure you get them in your group and surround them, because it's nothing scarier than being in a new church and no one comes and invites you into their group. But here's what I want you to focus on, City Life. Here's what I want you to pray into. Just take a couple minutes discussing it with each other and then pray about it. This is what I want you to do. How does City Life currently embody Whanaunitanga? Because I've talked about how I've experienced it in the past, but how do we do it today, church? What are we doing now to talk about cultivating connection, to seeing each other walk alongside and build into other people? And how do you think City Life could do better at Whanaunitanga? What do we need to change? What do we need to do to show the kind of love Paul was talking about, the greatest commandment Jesus was talking about in City Life? How does Whanaunitanga function and work in this house? So I'll get you to break into small groups, 3 to 5. If you see someone new, make sure you invite them into their group. Pray. If the worship team wants to, they can come up and start. But if they want to join the prayer groups, they can do that. That probably doesn't help them at all. But feel free to do your thing. And then Bronwyn can come up, or Dylan can come up and close. But thank you, church. And yeah, let's pray and look at Whanaunitanga.